Good evening, this is Trustee Deeney. I'd like to call the Monday, November 15th Strategic Planning Board session to order. Roll call.
Moyer?
Here.
Sias?
Here.
Barry?
Here.
Lucaro here, Olson?
Here.
Deeney?
Here.
Hopkins, absent.
Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carolyn, is there any town hall?
No, there's not.
Okay, then we'll move right into the strategic planning session.
Awesome. Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Amanda Standerfer, and I'm a librarian and library consultant based in central Illinois, about 3 hours south from here. I work part-time at the Urbana Free Library. I'm the Director of Community Engagement there. And then the other part of my time, I work with libraries all over the country on strategic planning, which is what we're here to kick off tonight. I would love to just briefly ask each of you to introduce yourself to me and tell me how long you've been on the board. So we can start right here.
Joe Olson, I've been on the board for about two and a half years.
Okay, thank you.
But I've been involved for the last 5 years.
All right, gotcha. Go ahead, Tim.
My name is Dave Barry. I've been on the board eight and a half years. I'm president of the board. I was also on the Rails board for 6 years.
Awesome, thank you.
Hi, Becky Deeney. I've been on the board just for 2 years.
Okay, great.
Monica Ware, I've been on the board for 8 months. I'm also a librarian.
Awesome.
Services librarian in Dundee.
Great, thank you. Go ahead.
Becky Lucaro, I've been on the board, this is my seventh year.
Okay, great, go ahead.
I am John Sias. I've been on the board for 4 years.
Okay, great. Great to meet all of you. So our meeting tonight, we've got a couple of things that we want to do. We have an hour and a half scheduled. First, we're going to just get you oriented to the strategic planning process. And then we're going to do two different exercises together. These are just to get us kind of thinking about what is the world in which we're doing our strategic planning? And then specifically, what are some things that we're thinking about the library? So first, I want to call your attention to the Golden Circle framework that is, should be your first handout here. This is the framework that we're using for our strategic planning process. There's lots of ways to organize a strategic plan. I really like this one. This is from Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why. If you're not familiar with Simon Sinek, he's got a lot of great books, he's got a great podcast, and he doesn't quite use this framework in the way that I'm going to use it for a strategic plan for a library, but I think it fits really, really well. And the reason I love it is that golden why in the middle, the vision and mission for the library, that aspiration, what are you trying to achieve in the community, and your mission, how will you carry out that work? To me, those are the core of your strategic plan. They're the compelling statements that make you all care about the library, that make the community care about the library, that make staff want to come and work at the library. So those are statements that, through our process, we'll either review what you have and update them or come up with new statements. But that's the golden circle. Those are the most important pieces that if you don't have those compelling statements, the rest of it doesn't really matter. Following the circles out, as you go out from the golden circle, the next circle is the how, and that basically answers the question, so how are you going to organize your work to achieve that vision that you have for the community? And in a strategic plan, those are your strategic directions or strategic priorities, if you want to call them that, and your goals. So this is basically those big areas of focus that you'll be moving towards over the next 3 to 5 years, and then those specific areas that you want to pay attention to. So those strategic directions and goals, the vision and mission, those are really like the high level elements of the strategic plan that you as board members have a really important role in setting for the library based on the community input that we're going to receive during the process. And then that far out circle, the what circle, that's really where staff thrive because they're here every day carrying out all of the things that make the library achieve that impact in the community. So basically answering the question, what are we going to do to achieve our goals as we're working towards our vision? So you can see on the far side there where staff staff and board kind of overlap with those goals and strategic directions, because we want to get staff input on what they want to achieve, the impact they want to have in the community. But mostly staff are kind of in that more implementation, the activities, the evaluation, how will we know we're successful. So kind of that end of the strategic plan, whereas the board is on that higher level of vision and mission. So that's the framework we're going to use. We'll revisit this throughout our planning process, but I wanted to just kind of get you familiar with what is it that we're trying to put together here. And basically this explains all of those different elements. I'll pause for a second to see if anybody has questions about our framework. So let me talk about the, oh, go ahead, sorry.
The specific goals. They're ultimately approved by the board.
Sure, that's.
And.
Sorry.
The status is reported back to the board on a regular basis.
That's typically what happens, yes.
Thank you.
Yep. So any other questions about our framework? Okay, so I want to talk about our timeline for our process. So you are familiar with what are the different steps that we'll be taking as we carry out our process. We're already underway and have done several things so far in our first phase of strategic planning, which is our learn phase. It's the longest and I would say the most important part of the process, because we're really listening to the community and learning about the community, so that the rest of our process can really be attached to that, anchored on that community learning. So we're working with a planning team of staff members who met in October to kick off the process, start to build the community survey. We did launch the community survey a couple of weeks ago. I just checked about an hour ago and we've got 190 responses to the survey, which is amazing. And in fact, we went from like 175 to 190 just within the time that I've been here today. So they're really starting to come in. I know the staff has done a lot to get the word out about the survey, encourage people to fill it out. It will be open until the end of the day, the Monday after Thanksgiving. So it's still gonna be open a few more weeks. I expect we'll continue to get more responses and definitely encourage all of you to ask your networks within Bartlett to fill out the survey. That's, you know, a big piece of how we're going to get community input. We're not going to reach everyone through our survey. So our hope is that through the focus groups and interviews that we'll do later in the learning phase, that we'll get some other participation, people maybe who aren't very heavy users of the library, other groups maybe that aren't as connected to the library. Those sessions will happen early in December and before Christmas time. We are also involving staff and board in this initial learning phase too, because of course you all are invested in the library and have things that you would like to contribute. So I've been meeting with staff groups today. I've had two of three. I've got another one at 8:15 this evening. And then we're having our initial session today as well. This is, like I said, just to get oriented and kind of thinking about the future of the library. We will have some staff and board grounding meetings coming up either later this week, the week after. We've got several different sessions scheduled, so you'll be learning more about how to schedule that time with me on the phone to talk more deeply about the library. And then my team will also look at things like demographics, other community strategic plans, like the school and the park district. We'll be looking at other library data and trends. The planning team will help with some of that. So all of that information that we're gathering, we'll put together into a learning report. I hope right around Christmas, right after Christmas, we'll have to see how the timing works out. And then that's the report that will anchor our discussions for the next phase of our process, the dream phase. And this is where we'll have a series of retreat sessions, one with you, the board, one with staff members, or multiple with staff members, depending on how that all works out in the schedule. And we'll take that learning report and we'll say, what does this mean to us? How do we use what the community is telling us to structure the future of the library? So we'll have those retreat sessions in late January, and that's where we'll really start to build the different elements of the strategic plan. After that, I will take all of that data back to my team and we'll look at it and we'll put together a plan outline. We'll present a draft plan to you, the board. You'll get to look through it and say, like, yes, this makes sense, or no, we should really focus on this. And then a month after that, you'll hopefully have a plan to approve. That's when the work really starts. Because once you have the plan, you have to figure out how you're actually going to implement the plan. So I will work with staff on developing an activity plan that will guide their actions, at least over the first year plus, and then an evaluation framework that will help them determine how they will measure if they're successful and then report that back to the board. That's kind of that last handoff from planning to implementation that we'll do hopefully by April-ish is our timeline. Of course, things happen. If we get off track a little bit, we'll move things back slightly, but I feel pretty good about being wrapped up by the spring. So I'll pause here again and see what questions you have about the process timeline or any elements in the process. Yes, please.
What would you consider a good return on a survey?
Yeah, so I don't like to give those kinds of numbers because we're not doing a scientific survey. Like, we don't have the resources within the budget of this process to say, like, we want a 10% return rate or whatever that is. We also are very widely promoting the survey. So we don't have, like, a control group where we could say, like, hey, we're sending this to 10,000 people and we want 10% or whatever. Rather, we're telling, you know, everybody. I mean, we're getting out the word as broadly as possible. We send a postcard, like, Caroline could talk to all of the things that are happening. So again, since it's for learning purposes, not a like plus or minus 5%, it's really as many as possible. When I work with libraries, depending on the size of the library, it can be anywhere from 200 responses to 2,000 responses. I would be thrilled if we could get, you know, 300 to 400. That's typically what I look for. And it's, again, not going to be representative of the community. We're not doing that scientific, statistically significant study. So I know that's like a non-answer to your question, but that's our method for the survey.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
I believe Carolyn can correct me on this. When we did our last survey 4 years ago,
okay,
I believe we had around 1,100.
Wow.
Responses.
But I believe that we nailed it to the individual houses.
Yeah, we mailed the postcard, and they have to either click a QR code, or, you know, do the thing on their phone or whatever with the QR code, or go to the library's website. It'd be amazing if we could get that many, but we'll see. Are there questions about the process or elements in the process, the timeline? Well, why don't we jump into our two exercises? And we're going to start broad with the environmental scan. And that is the handout that has the 6 boxes on it. So this sheet is just for you to take notes. I'm not going to collect this. I'm going to take notes up on my handy pad up here. And I'm going to add your comments to the staff's comments. So the point of these discussions is to see, you know, what is everyone saying, and we'll summarize all the responses in the learning report. So the point of the environmental scan is to look at these 6 different areas and say, what's happening out there in our world, our country, our state, our community, in each of these areas that impacts the library, that we want to think about as we move forward with the strategy for the library. So we're not here to name every single political thing that's going on, because we would be here all night. Rather, what are the most important things when we think about the future of the library in each of these categories, so that we can be aware of those things as we're moving forward? So we're gonna go through each one by one, and I'll take notes and we'll put the sheets up on the wall here. We may move past a category and need to add to it later. Some of the categories overlap each other a lot too, right? Like, we can have the same thing in multiple categories. That's totally fine. There are no wrong answers here. It's all just what's on our mind when we think about the library. So let's start with that political box there. Okay, so when you think about political factors in our world, our country, our community, what are things that come to mind when you think about the future of the library? Go ahead.
Like, the world is just so divided.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
What else when you think about the political situation that impacts libraries?
I think funding can be politicized.
Absolutely. Sure. All right. Other things that might impact the library's future when you think of the political situation?
I don't know that it's necessarily appropriate, but I'm thinking to be non-political, to be open-minded and invite all.
Yeah. To be that welcoming place for the entire community, right? All right. Anything else?
I see funding as really major.
Sure.
Basically, it's funding, it's kind of a subsidy, property tax, but also funds that need to receive from state funds.
Sure.
Depending on what's going on in Congress.
So let's put that under economic, and we can add more to political if we want to, if you think of more things. But the property tax, the federal funding for libraries, I mean, that's especially you as the governing board, like that's the key thing. You have to make sure the resources are there in order to achieve the strategy, right? Other economic factors that you can think of. Go ahead.
Economic pressures on individuals.
Absolutely.
Taxes, inflation.
Well, I'm even thinking things like online school and having to have different resources for children maybe in your home, or maybe, you know, a family member's been out without a job because of the pandemic and the pressures that that puts on. Absolutely. Yes, please.
Do people maybe not understand the value of the library?
Yeah. When we do our SOAR analysis, we'll talk about just awareness in general, and is that an opportunity for us? Yeah. Other economic factors that come to mind?
Well, we are viewed by expenses of the library expenditures.
Sure. I know I'm putting it further away and some of you can't see it back there, but anything else under economics?
Public perception of return on investment.
Oh, absolutely. Community economic factors that might impact how the library delivers services. Go ahead.
People only have so much money to spend. They may think where I want to spend it.
Yeah. So that discretionary funding, the funds that people might have. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Being like, especially if people are using the library more because their economic conditions aren't great, like what's that impact then on the staff workload and even the collections too, right?
economic retraining.
Absolutely. Yeah, and certainly people come here to the library expecting resources and connections to information to help them through those situations. Yeah. What about social factors? When you think about the community and community members, what social influences are there when we think about the future of the library?
Book clubs.
Yeah, how so, book clubs? Say more about that.
They're awesome. They really, you know, I've joined several of them.
Yeah.
Every author's I've ever worked with.
Sure.
You know, besides being a social thing.
Right, so being that connection between people, like, and talking about a book, but also connections to each other, too. Yeah. All right, what else? Oh, go ahead.
The teen community.
Okay, what about them?
Well, they're users of this library.
Yeah.
And to keep them coming in because
yes.
Get them, if they're going to use the library, they're going to keep using it. They might come back and use it later when they're adults.
Right. So habits of different, you know, not just teens, but really any group in the community, their habit of coming to the library. All right. Go ahead.
Different. Social
organizations.
Well, different cultures.
Okay. Like within the community and the library, like responding to them.
Right.
Yeah.
We've had, I think, a significant change in the last
sure.
15
well,
years.
I mean, that's demographic.
Actual demographics.
Yeah.
Of our community.
Yeah, and that means that the community needs are evolving and changing too. And how do we, you know, make sure that we're being responsive and know about those things? All right, what else under social? Go ahead.
I would say the pandemic affects everything.
Oh, my gosh.
But
yes.
But to me, the social component is significant. This is a gathering place. It was alluded to in a couple of other points, but really any section of people are affected by not being able to get together.
For sure.
So the Zoom meetings, the Zoom events, I mean, a lot of people who couldn't normally go to a program in the library were able to, well, we all couldn't, but under regular circumstances, that they'd still be able to participate.
Sure. Okay. What were you going to say over here?
I was going to say community events and raising awareness of the different aspects of it.
Sure. What about when you think about how the pandemic's affected children? What are some of the social aspects of that that might overlap with what the library is trying to offer to students? Anything come to mind?
Study groups, tutoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking more about just the disruption in their education, right? Like in and so study groups is a way that the library could help reconnect them to each other, right? Okay.
Like also social, like, and we already kind of do this.
Sure.
But continuing to cement that it's a safe place to go to.
Yeah.
I think also for kids, didn't we used to have like schools busing kids over here for days and when this all happened they weren't really doing that? So
yeah.
We had that disconnection as well.
Some of the summer school sessions.
Mm-hmm. All right, other social issues out there in our world that the library should be considering? Go ahead.
Cooperation with other government entities.
Yeah, for sure. About technology, when you think about what's happening in our world with technology. And what, how that impacts the library, what are things that come to mind?
The library is like a go-to place,
yeah,
for information. The correct information.
Availability of tools that all might not be able to afford.
Absolutely.
Like makerspace.
Sure. Technology in the library.
I think like also like low tech, what some might consider low tech technology.
Yeah.
Especially for younger kids. So that, you know, you could really have that kind of lifelong learning.
What kinds of things come to mind? I love that thought.
What things come to mind with that?
Yeah, when you think about low tech for kids, for younger kids especially, that would be exciting to them. And
yeah, we just had a really cool program here with Snap Circuits.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was, you know, some, the kit is pretty, like, it encompasses everything you need. So it was like, I don't know, I've used it before, it's pretty
sure.
Easy to start with kids.
Cool. So how are we engaging young people with technology in the library? Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I would say on the low-tech side, just simple things like storytelling.
Sure. Yes.
We have a resource officer who does who are the friendly people, who are the safe people to talk to, just really basic low-tech stuff.
Right. Sure.
I brought my kids to it. It's great.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Go ahead.
I think just the simple fact of teaching people about technology.
Absolutely. That's because it's changing so rapidly, right? And people rely on the library to be able to help them out with, to get access to whatever it is that they need. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Our teens do a lot with the games and stuff, and it gets them together.
Sure. Yeah, there was a whole group of teens when I walked by, and I don't know what they were doing, but they were having fun, it looked like. But even just with, like, the game, like, so much changes so quickly with that, too. And that's not just, like, well, the library has to have the equipment and the games, but, like, there need to have staff that can help them with that stuff, too. So it's, like, multiple layers of, like, economic impact on the library. Mm-hmm. Anything else with technology?
Interface methods used for meeting our public.
What do you mean by that?
Beyond social media, you know, beyond Zoom, the new tools that we're seeing as far as other applications that bring people together and forums that we can create using those tools for both education and discussion by our library. I'm not saying, you know, this is social or anything in particular, but a way that we approach people to find out what their needs are. I mean, beyond the survey, you know, we have to teach beyond the strategic plan, we have to keep attuned to what's happening so that we can keep fine-tuning our process to get to the ultimate goals.
Yeah. also goes across several of our categories here too. Okay, go ahead, please.
Schooling in general. Schools don't have textbooks anymore.
Yeah, how is the library supporting students when there's so much has changed in the schools too? Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
All the things that, you know, Overdrive, Libby, you know, the newspapers, the Freehold. I mean, I got through a lot of us through the pandemic by having access to that without getting an actual book.
Yeah, all the digital resources for sure. Okay. How about legal issues, legal topics, when you think, again, broadly of what's happening in our world, what comes and how it relates to libraries? Are there any legal things that come to mind?
Well, first of all, when it comes to funding, the central the ordinances that we have to pass, and budgets we have to pass on an annual basis, employment laws that we have to follow.
Yes.
Policies, we have to make policies. You might have to change the policies depending on our strategic plan, how that affects our current policies.
Yeah.
Updating, we need new policies.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Any other legal things that you can think of that impact libraries?
Yeah. Updates in the laws regarding DEI.
Sure. That certainly crosses over with some of the social things and political things as well, too. Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Well, what do you mean by exactly DEI? Could you explain it? The diversity,
equity, inclusion.
Okay. Any other legal things out there that impact libraries?
I feel so pressure on that. Updating laws regarding DEI. Are we talking more about, like, for example, and this could just be me thinking, is challenging books and challenging titles. Is that kind of where what you're thinking, kind of, Joe?
I think that's another.
Or is it something completely different?
Go ahead.
Minimum wage.
Oh, that's a big one for libraries, right? Go ahead.
The library also belongs to all the organizations, like, you know, the ILA and the
sure.
Rails, so to get information from updates and everything from them also.
Yeah. So that advocacy, kind of that legislative updates. You know, one that came up with staff is privacy, right? That can be a legal thing. Copyright, those are kind of just your standard library stuff. Are there any other ones anybody can think about when you think of legal issues?
Not legal so much as to being able to lobby our elected officials for library issues.
Sure. When you think about trends in libraries, when you go to other libraries, maybe you go to trainings and you hear what other libraries are doing, what are some of those things that come to mind that maybe we want to just, you know, keep in mind as we're going through this process?
I think one thing I'm as a youth services manager is like the whole tween versus teen sector.
Yeah.
Like what they get their space, where's their collection.
So thinking about those different patrons that we're serving, and especially in that kind of age group that's can be challenging sometimes, right? In a good way. Other trends or things you're seeing in libraries?
Better interface with affiliated organizations,
okay,
like our friends, like our foundation.
Yeah, certainly. I don't know if your foundation has experienced this, but a lot of library foundations have kind of like had a resurgence, right? Because we're thinking about economics and what are other funding streams that the library can develop. Go ahead.
Another thing is like outreach.
Absolutely.
And bookmobiles and going out into the community, especially right now, with COVID. People are a little more reserved to come in and
sure,
feel better going to a park or more of an open space.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, even just like having more activities outside is a trend that libraries are experiencing.
Those little free libraries?
Yeah.
Pop-up libraries?
Else you want to add under this category?
I think the other thing might be like really being able to tell our story. I feel like that's,
oh,
I mean, other than,
absolutely,
you know, library and story, it's like really having what's our story.
Okay, so I feel like we're starting to get into our SOAR analysis where we're narrowing in to talk about this library. So we're going to switch sheets, and this is the one that's got just the four boxes on it. So we're going to do the SOAR analysis exercise, which will help us look at library strengths, opportunities, which I think you've already started to name some of those, your aspiration for the community, and the results that you'll achieve. So we'll go through each of these as well too. So let's start with those strengths. Like, what is this library really good at?
Great staff.
Yeah. You know, the two groups I've met with already of staff, the very first thing they said was, we provide great service, so I'm glad to hear that it came up here too. What other strengths?
Our programming?
Yeah. Okay.
The reach out and the involvement that we have with other civic organizations.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
The summer clubs, the summer bands that we have.
Oh. So like a summer concert series?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's actually Friends hook them up.
Oh, cool. I I mean, I would say your parking. I know it's a mess right now, but like, just seriously, like, I've been to so many libraries that'll have like four spaces. The fact that you guys have this, and we'll have this like repaved, like, it's seriously an asset, you know?
I think the site is, and location.
Yeah, being right next to the Park District too is amazing. Other strengths that you would point to, go ahead.
I think just staying relevant in general.
Okay.
I think we've done pretty well as, you know, keeping up with everything and not going into huge debt over it.
Yeah.
We think of small ways to keep up with everything.
Alrighty. Good strengths. Anything else anybody wants to put up here?
We have a board that cares.
Yeah, I mean, that's important, right? And I feel like your staff would say that too. I mean, they didn't quite put it in those words, but you could tell they were really connected to their jobs and that they it mattered to them what happens here and how they do their jobs. Okay, what about, I got two in there. Oops, now I've made a mess. Okay, what about opportunities? You've talked about a couple of things. You know, when you think about the next 3 to 5 years, like, what are those things that you really think you might be able to work towards?
I think one of the opportunities that we have is a substantial increase in our available funds.
Okay.
Expiration of the TIF.
Yeah. Exciting. Who talked about articulating your story, right? Like, that's an opportunity, and that's not something that like goes away, right? It's not like there's a point at which you're like, okay, everybody knows about the library. I mean, that's like continually evolving. It's more the opportunity to make sure everybody's like doing that in that cohesive way, right? So telling your story is an opportunity, right? I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is telling your story an opportunity? Yeah, okay. Other opportunities.
I think taking advantage of the technology that is evolving.
Also not going away. So thinking about like, what does that mean to you as the library, and maybe that because you're that place that people rely on and go to, you have like that responsibility, right? Like, what are the expectations? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
Increased penetration in our population of residents in the district.
Yeah, cardholder penetration.
Hopefully we're.
Yeah, well, and I think that kind of brings up a topic that a lot of libraries are thinking about, like, how do we get more people to come back in, you know, after the pandemic? How do we increase that engagement with people, right? All right. What else? Go ahead, please.
I think with kids and teens, we need to figure out a way to stay more relevant with them, especially with schooling going more digital. That's what they're using more now, so we need to be creative and figure out ways to still help them where they need it.
Yeah.
I
And that ties in with the technology too, right? Well, you have to tell your story. I mean, you're not just telling stories to your peers, you have to tell it across everyone in the community. Yeah, okay. Chloe, please.
Some business parks that a lot more businesses are coming in, so there's gonna be more tax money there too.
Yeah.
And jobs.
Yep. Yeah, so there's potential relationships with the businesses, but also with their employees. That's exciting. Going around the side of the room. Okay, other opportunities? I mean, those are some pretty significant ones. When you think about, like, gosh, how much could we really accomplish in the next couple years? Like, tackling even just a couple of those are pretty major. Anything else?
Increase our staff as we grow more and we need more staff.
Yeah, how do you as an organization respond to the changing demographics, not just with like collections or programs, but with the services and the staff capacity?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, a lot of what you've talked about, I feel like, is how are you flexible and adapting to, you know, the conditions around you to stay relevant, to tell that story of your impact. Yeah. Okay, so if those are your opportunities, what are you hoping to achieve by working towards these opportunities? What are you aspiring to do in the community? Go ahead.
I want to go fine free.
Yeah. Well, what will that mean to people for you to be fine free?
Yeah, that's like equal access or an increase of equal access.
Yeah.
To everyone in the community.
Absolutely. You know, Chicago Public's been fine free for a little over a year now, and there was just a study released about the impact that had made in the city and people coming back to the library and feeling welcome there. And It was really inspirational to read that. So yeah, that's a great aspiration. Other aspirations. Not just for you as the library, but for what do you want community members to achieve because they come to the library? What do you hope for your community members?
That they become lifelong learners and,
yes,
you know, from birth to adulthood, you continue to come into the library and therefore support libraries in general.
Oh my gosh. Okay, they become lifelong learners, but they use the library across their lifetime. And I'm gonna go beyond even that they support the library, but that they're advocates for their library. That's amazing. Okay. Go ahead, please.
Reach out and welcome new residents.
Yes. New residents. Awesome. Okay. Go ahead.
I think with programming, I would love for the library to be the first place they look for something to do.
Yes. Hope to achieve. for community members?
Well, keeping up with the technology, obviously, that we're always ahead of the curve there.
Yeah. Okay.
To not be stuck.
There you go. Okay, so if you do all of these things, if you are found free, so more people can come use the library, if you you're building advocates because you have things for people across their entire lifetime, they're learning things when they come to the library, they feel welcome here, whether they're a new resident or they've been here forever but they've never come to the library. If the library is the first place people think of when they need a program or a resource or just a connection, that if they're an entrepreneur or a small business, they know they can come here and get resources that will help them. If they're they think the library is not stale, like the library has an amazing reputation in the community, and that the library can connect them to technology. What's the result? What's going to happen in the community if you can do all of those things? What will that mean for your community members? They have a place to go, okay.
Better services?
What's that?
Better services,
okay. But what does it matter to me if I have a place to go? What does that mean to a community member?
I think it's a place you want to go.
Okay.
A place you want to go. Well, very welcoming.
They feel welcome, yep. All right.
They'll be better informed.
They'll be better informed, okay. All right, go ahead.
Knowledge that there's actually a resource beyond providing elementary and young children with learning opportunities. You know, I talk to a lot of people in the community and they feel or express, yeah, we used to go to the library when our kids were young, but we don't go anymore because we don't see anything there of value.
Okay, so they'll know that there's something for them, something for everyone, and that they will value the library. They'll be aware of what the library offers.
They'll advocate for us.
The advocates.
They'll recognize the monetary value of the library.
Yes, they will consider the library a good investment. What will that do for them personally, their lives? So this, a lot of these are like what they'll think about the library and the library's reputation in the community. Super important. I mean, we want those results. But how about what we want for individuals who engage with us at the library? What is our what is the result we hope to get for them?
Quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Quality of life. What else?
Future board members.
Sure, yes. Well, not just board members, but future leaders in the community, right?
First board members.
We're leaders in this, right?
Yeah, of course you are. What else? Go back to individual people's lives. What does it mean to them to have a library where they can get information and resources and connect with people and get technology? What's that do for them?
It takes the burden having to find somewhere else to go. You know, people stress out a lot on when they need to do something or they lose a job or something. If they know that they can come here for help with things, it helps take the stress out, whatever issues they're dealing with.
yeah, they can rely on the library. Yeah?
Libraries also offer, people go to the library, they're also going to stop at this place and that place, and they're going to stop at the ice cream or the coffee or something like that. Not just going to go to the library.
Okay.
They're going to make other stops along the way. There's an economic impact to the village, the community.
I was going to, oh, they feel connected to the community because then they go to all these other places, but you're right, that has an economic impact too.
I think along those lines as well, if families don't have a lot of money and they have kids and they bring their kids in, it's something that they can do as a family without breaking the bank. Where they can meet people and just be social and make friends.
Like when they were doing the movies here, the kids would, you know, it was like kids show up in their pajamas.
Yeah, you're reducing isolation for people. You're connecting them to each other. You're building community by doing those things, right? So it's beyond people feeling welcome. It makes them feel like they belong here, right? Like they have that place to go. They can count on you. The word I was trying to get you guys to say was empowered, that they feel empowered because they have all this stuff. You got close, okay? Any other results? Go ahead.
The other thing is like attracting, not that our staff, I've got to be real careful how I said this, not that our staff isn't, like, there isn't talent, but continue to
be talented. So recruitment and retention.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Can you
card
produce?
Absolutely, yes. And I would even say beyond card holders, because I think because of the pandemic, like all of us in libraries are rethinking, like what are those metrics of success? And it's not just card holders, it's users or it's contacts when you're out in the community. Like there's other ways that we can show that we're adding that value. Okay, those are all really exciting. I mean, that's like the point of our plan, right? Is how do we figure out the ways in which we're going to get to these results that you all talked about? So when we step back, I know you can't see anything that's on the wall, but when you think about strengths, opportunities, aspirations, and results, is there anything we want to add to any of those categories?
What about all the things that are strengths now?
Yeah.
Make sure they carry over.
Yes, so building on those strengths. You know, I'm gonna put that on under an opportunity because that's not a given, right? Like it's not just automatic that because you're good at something now that that's gonna continue. Like you have to put care and time and effort into that too. So making sure the strengths remain strengths. Where does that?
Is that part of the strategic plan, or is that a different?
Well, I think in the strategic plan, you'll want to identify if that's something you need to be paying attention to. I mean, we're not here to like do a facility study or make recommendations on like this room should be larger. Like that's not the point. The point is to say, yes, we need to now undergo a process that will deal with our facilities. So is that an opportunity to like assess space needs for the future? Is that where you would put that? Yeah? Okay. All right.
I think think that another opportunity is to generate ongoing feedback from the community.
Totally.
Feel the, have the community feel that they can let us know what it is that they're not getting, not seeing, what they're hearing about. I think we exist pretty much in a void.
Sure. I would say that's changing a lot because people are much more comfortable like with electronic communication and stuff like that. And I mean, I think about like places that I engage with that, you know, I'll have a transaction like at the pharmacy or something, and immediately I'm getting that like, how was your service today? Or like, there's, even if I don't give the feedback, I know there's opportunities to give the feedback. So how can libraries like use some of those models in business where you're creating those opportunities, even if people are taking advantage of them, but that people know, like, here is how I would give feedback to the library. Absolutely. Okay, go ahead, please.
I think under aspirations, that they think of it, this is my life.
Oh, ownership, yeah. That's a good one. Okay, anything else? Okay, this was an amazing start to our discussion. I know we finished up, I always give an hour and a half for this because I don't ever know where it's gonna go, how much people are gonna say. So, you know, I know you have an hour before your other meeting. I'm happy to continue the discussion if you have more things, but honestly, like, you guys came up with a lot of really great things, and I really appreciate all that you said. I really appreciate your perspective because it's much different than the staff, right? Staff talked about some of these things similarly, but you just have a different perspective because you're fiscally responsible for the library as a governmental entity. So before I let you have a little break before your next meeting, does anybody have any final questions or thoughts or things that you would like to add into the discussion? This is just the beginning, right? This was just to kind of get us oriented to the process, get us thinking a little bit about the library. And then the next time I see you in late January, that's when we'll have that report in our hands to be able to go through and say, what does this all mean to us? How do we take some of these things that we've already started talking about and align those with what the community wants from us? Anything else from anybody?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Do we need to decide on that next meeting date?
I think you're doing that in your next meeting. Yeah, so we will get there for sure. Okay, awesome. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Show you where you're
going to
be?
Yes, let me pick up my sheets here.
Carolyn, you need to close our...
Sorry.
Any town hall?
No, I'm sorry. No, none.
So would someone like to make a motion to...
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Good call.
Thank you.